Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jake Volmick with the guys here on Overtime, coming up in about an hour's time, as we always do at 9 o'clock. We'll get to Get a Grip as well, coming up here in about 17 minutes. I told you we're going to talk Guardians, and we will at 9:20 with Justin Ladd of Locked On Guardians. We're going to talk a little bit coming up here at 8:20 as well. But as we continue to talk Browns and continue to talk Browns quarterbacks, I feel like we can't go any further into this conversation without getting to our daily Browns quarterback rankings. All right, let's kick things off. Yes, another day in paradise. Where you still have five guys on the graphics. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting to still have five guys in the mix? But you do, so here you go. Starting things off at number five, it's none other than the still injured, still nursing a hamstring injury, still not taking full team reps. That's Kenny Pickett. Again, until the guy gets cleared to look like he's going to play 11 on 11s, I'm keeping him there out of spite. I'm not moving it. It's going to go for any quarterback that gets hurt during this process. I can't do it. If you're telling me, oh, he's not good enough to go out there and actually take reps with the full team, he's not healthy enough. Well, you're not healthy enough to be higher than any other quarterback on the roster. So yes, Kenny, did you drop a dime today to Jerry Jeudy? Absolutely did. It's a really nice throw. Back corner of the end zone, might have been the best throw of the day. You're unfortunately still sitting at number five. You get healthy to play Saturday, might have a different conversation. But as of right now, not happening. Also, Mike Sando put you at 34 in this quarterback ranking. Oh, 34. You got basically a tier of your own. I'd be like, that's about as disrespectful as you're just like, backup quarterback. Thank you. Was that... Hey, he talks to NFL execs. Is that the Browns that put that in? Was that... They're just like, no, he's... Throw him in there. Anonymous exec, Kenny Pickett, still really good. You still want to make sure you have him on that list. I don't know who the hell else is saying it. It's probably the Eagles. The only two teams that would honestly say it. Can't be anybody else. Yeah, a nice Super Bowl ring to go along with it. They're like, yeah, can't take him out. He does have the ring. Moving on to number four. That's going to be the man who's here for what reason? Well, nobody knows. Tyler Huntley. Just still here. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think he took a throw today in training camp. I think he's out there watching. He was like, oh, nice throw. Yeah. Give you a high five on the side. We're all good. All right, keep it going. Kevin, you want me to take a throw? I'll take. Good. All right. I'll stay here. I'll let Dylan know what he did wrong. All right. Is this gonna be my? Do I get a chance to make this? No. Okay. Just making sure. All right. Somebody else want to sign me? Anybody else? I'm open to be signed. Snoop Huntley's gonna land at number four. Yeah. I feel like. I mean, he's on a roster. He's getting paid, so I guess it's better than he was before. It's not exactly a fun situation for him though. Which moves us to number three. Some man coming off of an injury. Got 11 on 11 reps today. Dylan Gabriel, for me, lands at number three. He looked really good today. I also just watched Shador look really good on Friday. So, like, typically this would be a spot where I go, well, Dylan took reps at the ones. They clearly like him better. He should probably be higher on this right now. And he performed well. Yeah, I don't know. I can't do it. I can't put him there after watching Shador play on a Friday, okay? Maybe if we had a show on Saturday and Sunday, and then we watched Dylan, maybe this would have been enough time to cool off and go, all right, Dylan Gabriel, third time away from this game. Let's actually now move you back up now that you looked good. Hey, it's the first show following Shador Sanders. Yeah, no, we're not doing the disrespect thing here, okay? You play well on a football field for me with opposite colored jerseys on the other side. Yeah, thank you very much. You're going to go up higher, and Dylan's going to land at number three. Keep up the good work, bud. Just keep going. Get to Saturday. Number two, it's the man of the day. It's the man of the week. It's the man of the weekend. Might be the man of the year. Shador Sanders lands at number two. Again, Friday's performance, While I don't think we should overreact, I told you, maybe 10-15%, reel that in a little bit. Reel in the reaction, just a tad. You still get to be excited, and I'm still excited to see what he brings on Saturday. Still amped up from what he brought on Friday. Yeah, that guy's landed at number two right now. I'm not saying I've seen enough, but I've seen a good amount to be excited and want him to be high up in this quarterback race once again and have no questions about it. He's going to land at number two, which, of course, leaves a spot for the old geezer, the old man. Joe Flacco lands at number one. Didn't get to watch him play, but every single time I hear anything, I talk to anybody out at training camp, they're like, Joe looked good today. Joe looked like the 40-year-old quarterback. He looked like a guy that's just spiraling the ball to receivers and getting the ball out quickly and doing everything that you want your quarterback to do. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to assume that guy's going to start here, and I'm just waiting for somebody to tell me differently. I don't think they're going to, though. I think that's probably about where they're going to land. So, yes, Joe Flacco lands at number one and concludes.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Those are Daily Brown's quarterback rankings. Now you guys can jump in, 216-474-0092, but I feel like following that brings the one question into place that is worth asking. You watch Shador play on Friday, and listen, we all haven't been out at training camp every day. I haven't been out at training camp every day, but we've seen the throws. We've seen the stats that come out of it. We've listened to the reporters that talk after training camp. You guys listen to this station and all of the experts that come on to talk about it. Like, Dylan's gone through some hardships throughout camp, especially when we date back to last week and at the end of the week prior, going into last week, when he was getting reps but also not completing the easy passes and struggling. Then, yes, again, he does look good today. But I feel like part of this perception now changes. And looking at Shador play on Friday and asking the question, is there any conversation left about Dylan Gabriel to still be higher than Shador Sanders right now? Because I think almost everybody outside of the Browns came in with a preconceived notion that, well, I understand you took Dylan before you took Shador, but I also think Shador's probably the better quarterback than Dylan Gabriel is. Right, that's exactly what we came in with. The Browns big board, the quarterback big board we built, Shador was number one. My ninth quarterback of the rookies, he's a lot lower than ninth when we took the whole list into account, but my ninth rookie quarterback was Dylan Gabriel. Never a question on my mind who I thought the more talented quarterback was. It was always Shador. And I told you guys leading up to the draft, like, I would have taken Shador at number two. I understand the NFL didn't feel that same way. Very happy you got him in the fifth round instead. I'm not going to make any complaints. But, like, I was confident enough what I saw to take him number two. And certainly by the time he got to the second round, I would have pulled that trigger in a heartbeat. So, as great as I thought he was coming into this, we left the conversation open. The Browns like Dylan Gabriel. But, all right, well, there's a reason he slipped. And if you want to make the claim to me, well, the reason he slipped was all of these football reasons and nothing else off the field, which is what a lot of the NFL tries to make the claim about Shador, is that there's football reasons on why he dropped. Okay, well, I'm not seeing a ton of the football reasons on why Shador dropped on Friday. I'm not seeing a ton of them. Like, watching Tyler Shuck play for the Saints, I could see if you told me that guy slipped to the fifth round. I'd be like, yeah, he looks absolutely terrible right now. And all the things that we feared about him in college came to fruition right in front of our eyes on a football field. He gets pressured. Oops, I'm scared. right? I'm going to make the worst decision of all time as soon as there's a pass rusher in my face. A little bit of inaccuracy down the field displayed itself as well. And we've seen that in training camp too. Like, I don't understand from the Shador standpoint how I look at it anymore and think, well, Dylan Gabriel still really got a chance. Like, again, I fully understand the Browns are going to give him that opportunity. He's going to have a chance to play on Saturday. But the conversations outside of it from us, I don't know that I can sit here and put Dylan Gabriel in the same light right now, at least not until he proves it. If he goes out there and makes me eat my words on Saturday, which, listen, they say when you have two quarterbacks, you have zero. Well, if I have two quarterbacks, two good quarterbacks, I'm going to take that as a win right now as the Cleveland Browns. You give me two good rookie quarterbacks, two guys who both look like they're performing in the preseason, I'm taking that compared to what we've had before. So if he goes out there and makes me eat my words, by all means, but at this point right now, I don't think I'm putting Dylan Gabriel in that same conversation. Like, until you prove it to me, you're a step behind. I haven't seen you do a ton on the practice field. I haven't seen you at all in game action. And a lot of the fears that I think people had about Dylan coming in on size and frame and having to work within the pocket have definitely showed up a little bit here and there in training camp. I'm just trying to, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I do. But if Shador's going to go out there and play like that, it does make me kind of consider him as the higher up quarterback on the list right now. And I think he's a head's length above. And I'm not just talking about height here. I'm not just talking about that because he's probably that too. But I need to see Dylan go prove it. And that's, again, why this is such a pivotal week for Dylan Gabriel, is because you have to go prove it. Or I don't think that argument exists in the slightest. Like, I think Dylan Gabriel is basically not out of the mix, but out of that conversation to say, hey, you're in the same boat as Shador. You're both rookie quarterbacks. Oh, again, it's, if you come up and you perform, you show out in the games where you get the opportunity, a quarterback competition where these guys are supposed to have the ability to move up and down the depth chart, it should be, when given the opportunity, capitalize on the opportunity. So when Shador does that, and if Dylan doesn't, I want to give the guy who's capitalizing on his opportunities the opportunity to keep capitalizing. Like, I want to keep giving that to him and keep, you know, pushing him farther along in the competition while the other guy's then going to have to find other ways to prove it. So right now, I just don't even think it's the same conversation. Like, Dylan Gabriel, until you prove it, you're behind Shador. I get the Browns aren't saying it, but I think from a media perspective and a conversation that we're having as fans should be the way we're viewing it. 216-474-0092. Let's go out to the phones real quick. BP is in Pepper Pike. What's going on, BP?
Hey, Jake. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Good. You know, I was very impressed with Shador Sanders on Friday night. You know, he kind of like validated everything I thought about him. I thought he was a good, solid, you know, competent quarterback. I mean, I went to University of Colorado. I watched some of his games. In fact, the first game he ever played against TCU, they were ranked 17th in the country. Shador Sanders threw for 510 yards in that game. So I urge some of the fans to go back and look at the highlights or the stats from that game. That's pretty impressive. You know, I mean, this kid was a competent college quarterback playing against pretty good competition. So I knew he wasn't a bum. I knew he wasn't a fifth-round talent. So I'm extremely happy with the way he showed out. And I still am mad at the Browns for drafting Dylan Gabriel. I still think that's a reach. I don't know. I kind of feel that's like a Paul DePodesta thing. No one really has mentioned his name that much. But, again, Dylan Gabriel was a West Coast quarterback for Oregon. DePodesta spends a lot of time on the West Coast. Kind of like how we also like DTR, you know, from UCLA. So I have no problem if they move Shador Sanders over Dylan Gabriel in the depth chart. And I like to see, against the Eagles, ideally, I like to see Dylan Gabriel start the game, play the first half, and I like to see Shador Sanders play the second half of that game. And I think, you know, I don't need to see Kenny Pickett at this time. He's probably still injured anyways. But I like to see these two rookies sort of duke it out in that game against Philly this coming weekend. What do you think?
Yeah, B, I tend to agree, and we're up against it, so I got to let you go, but I appreciate the call as always.
You got it. Take care.
You too. I just think, like, that's what this game should be. Again, like, even if Kenny's healthy to some degree, and I get it, like, you're running a quarterback competition, you want to give Kenny an opportunity to win the job. So if he's healthy, I'm sure he'll play. But I think what this should be is a battle of the rookies. Like, put Dylan in the exact situation that Shador was in, let him go up against the Eagles defense, and then let Shador come in and say, hey, play like you did against the third teamers the time before as well against Carolina. Do the same thing. Prove it to me again. and we'll have a better look at this, and then we'll, you know, surefire things. We'll settle things coming up in the third preseason game, probably towards the back half of it, between these two rookies, and really figure out where they're at. I like that idea a lot. All right, we're going to talk Guardians coming up here in about 5 minutes. Just how obtainable does the AL Central feel at this point? Right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. We've talked plenty of Browns up to this point, talked plenty of Shador. I do want to talk a little bit of Guardians coming up here because, well, the Guardians have been red hot and, well, the Tigers necessarily haven't, right? Like the team that we wrote off going to 0-10 across a 10-game stretch, a 10-game losing streak that was absolutely absurd, is clearly the team that's here no more. But the crazy thing is going through and like actually paying attention to the standings. And yes, you can see the Guardians get hot. I don't know that we've necessarily seen the number jump the way that we've wanted to in the division, where it's like, okay, they've obviously cut it down from where it was at 15 and a half games dating back over a month ago, but you're still sitting at 6 games out. Over the past week or so, that number stood pretty steady now. The Tigers have cut down on a little bit of their dramatic losing streak. The Guardians, still hot. They're 8-2 in their last 10, but you see them drop after a 5-game winning streak. They dropped to the White Sox yesterday. They don't make that same climb. It's okay. We're sitting kindly at 6 games with a chance to go to 6.5 with the Tigers taking on the White Sox tonight. But obviously, the standings that have changed have been the wild card. Like a team that I looked at, I'm like, well, if they're going to play like this, they're not going to make the playoffs, and this team isn't set to make the playoffs, is now sitting there at a 0.5 game out. You were trailing a 0.5 game from the New York Yankees, 2.5 from the Red Sox, and 3.5 from also the red hot Seattle Mariners. I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, well, I feel relatively comfortable about the Guardians being a playoff team. There's still work to do. They still have to play very well because the three teams I just named to you, and we'll ask Justin about it coming up here in about an hour. But those aren't just, you know, pushover teams. The three teams ahead of you now do feel like legitimate contenders, teams that can be in the wild card race and absolutely make a wild card game. Like the Mariners might be the one team that I look at. I'm like, well, they're hot right now. Is that team going to stay hot? They added a lot at the deadline. The roster's good, but how great really is it? Where I can obviously look at the Red Sox, I can look at the Yankees, and I go, okay, stud lineups. There's solid pitching behind both of those. I'd be more scared of those teams in the playoffs for sure, just based on name value alone. Like, the Mariners would not scare me as much. I don't know if the Guardians would ever, you know, actually be able to knock off a team like that. And they wouldn't have to if they're in the wild card. But I would be more scared of the other two than the Mariners. I just don't know that that's where sights should be set for Guardians. The Guardians themselves, I'm sure it's not. I don't even know that's where sights should be set right now for Guardians fans. Like, sitting within 6 games of the division, still with, I think we're pushing up like 50-ish games to play still. I'm not sitting here just going, you're 6 games back and the division feels out of reach. I think the division feels incredibly within reach. Again, you still have to play well, and the Tigers are still a team that is going to play better than they have as of recent, but a division that once felt like, well, there's no chance the Guardians actually make ground here and make this even a race, let alone come back and take it, now feels like it's right in your grasp. This team is set up with a schedule that still does favor them, coming off of a series against the White Sox, where you took 2 out of 3. Okay, well, does it get much harder? I don't know. After you swept the Mets, you still have the Marlins, who have been good as of late, but are not a amazing baseball team. Again, they've played well, but you play the Braves, who've stunk. You play the Diamondbacks, who traded away everything and has also have stunk. And then you're playing the Rangers. You're playing Tampa Bay, who's seen a little bit of a fall off in their play. And then you start playing a couple of the harder teams later down the road. So you have a little bit of room to make up some ground. But the really damning part of this, where you have to hands down say this race is nowhere near over, is the fact that you still play the Tigers 6 times by the time that you reach the end of the year. And they've played the Tigers relatively well so far this year. Like, that is the thing that I think is most impressive, is I go through and look at this team and go, all right, well, if you have to play the Tigers, you're going to have to compete. The only time that they've played the Tigers so far, you took 3 out of 4 while you were on a stretch. And then while you were on your 10-game losing streak, yes, you got swept while the team was producing absolutely nothing on offense and still, by the way, made that a 2-1 loss, a 1-0 loss, and a game that went to extras, which Cade Smith kind of fell off the rails, made it 7-2. Unfortunately, was in the beating sun during that game watching it, but it's a game that you force extras. Okay, yes, you got swept by the Tigers. You played them ridiculously close during your worst stretch of baseball, right before you woke up and then decided, hey, we're going to sweep the Astros. So if you can play well against the Tigers, and I'm just saying, like, I know that you're probably not going to go through and sweep those two series. Let's be realistic about it. Not going to cut down from, you know, 6 games back where you're at right now. If you entered the first series and be like, oh, now we're 0 games back, and this is a tied race going into the last couple series of the year. You're not going to do that. I don't think you're going to sweep the Tigers twice. But if you can take 4 out of 6 against the Tigers, and you can knock that down to even by the time that you play them, oh, if we can get it to, you know, we're 4 games back entering the first series, and I can cut it to 2 games. Well, okay, you've just made it incredibly obtainable once again to actually make the push, because you would still have a series against Texas. Like, you wouldn't feel great about it. You'd probably like to get that down to 3 games, 2 games by the time you're entering that. Like, I'm not saying you don't have a stretch in front of you. I'm not saying you don't have to play great baseball. But just because you're 6 games back does not mean that I think you should be ruling this out. This team is playing as if they want a wild card spot at the very least. But if the Tigers are going to continue to struggle in a young team that continues to struggle, and I'm sure is feeling the pressure of the Guardians right now, a young team themselves, yes, but the Tigers are absolutely feeling the pressure. You have gone through and they got lackadaisical. They were sitting comfortably, and it's like, all right, well, the division's ours. We don't have to play our best brand of baseball. Are now getting the wake-up call of, oh, crap, we have to go back to playing our best brand of baseball. And that's not as easy as, oh, we just flip a switch and we do it. The Tigers have a roadblock in front of them of, well, the pitching outside of Tarek Skubal has not been good as of late. The starters have taken a massive drop-off. And the lineup has gone from this team can hit the cover off the ball to Riley Green being the worst hitter in baseball since the All-Star break. I'm looking at this and thinking, all right, yeah, try to get the wild card spot, right? Make sure you shore that up. Continue to play good baseball. But my main focus right now as a Guardians fan is putting the pressure on the Detroit Tigers. Yeah, I want to get that to a point where I want to feel like I'm deciding my own fate in a way. Or I have control of my own destiny. And to do that, you just have to get this slightly more manageable by the time that you come up in the middle of September. If you get to September 16th when you take on the Tigers and you're thinking, all right, now we're 3 games back and we can play good baseball and we can stay with our head above water. You're in a prime spot. Again, the back half of the schedule does get harder. It legitimately does. Like, you do play, I mentioned the Rangers. You also have the Rays, the Mariners, the Red Sox, multiple teams in front of you still to get through. But I don't see why we should be looking at this team going, are they a playoff team? I think the legitimate conversation is we have as many games as we have to go. Forget about, oh, well, let's hope this team can make the wild card. I feel like the conversation should be whether or not they can actually make a run for the AL Central. I'll focus on the wild card when the wild card feels like the only thing I can focus on. I think you look around baseball right now and you look at those same teams that are above you in the standings right now. I don't know that there's a single one of them that's going, well, oh, hopefully we're able to catch this wild card spot. The Red Sox are 4 games back of the Blue Jays. I'm sure they're thinking about the division right now. Mariners, a half game back of the Houston Astros, certainly thinking about the division right now. And the Yankees aren't far behind that. They're 6.5 games back. They're in about the same spot you are. They're just trying to get Aaron Judge back on the field and be like, okay, let's just survive here. They might be thinking, get me to the playoffs. I feel good when I get to the playoffs if I'm the Yankees. But certainly the Red Sox and the Mariners have no concern over getting to a wild card game and just staving off the Guardians. And just, all right, all I have to do to get to the playoffs is play better than the Guardians. And I understand, like, a lot of the philosophy that goes into the Guardians actually being a successful team sometimes just is, all right, get me to October. Right? Make sure that I can play games in October and then I'm good. And we'll hope that we hit a hot stretch during that time. We'll hope that we get, you know, the bats get hot at the right moment and then we can make a run to the playoffs. In a way, it's, again, kind of control your own destiny, right? Get back to a spot where, yeah, I might be taking on one of these top wild card teams, but allow me to. I'd much rather be taking on any of the teams that I just named than the actual division leaders, maybe outside the Astros because they're kind of fumbling. But Like, would I rather face the Blue Jays right now? Oh, you've played them well, but I don't know that I'm necessarily dying to play the Blue Jays. And, you know, they're almost at 70 wins and leading the American League right now, so you probably wouldn't. But I'd much rather take on any of the teams in front of me. It's to a point where I look around the American League, and I understand what the Guardians are, but the way that you're playing baseball, if you prove to me this is closer to reality than a 10-game losing streak, or even earlier on in the year when you began to struggle and you were sitting right around 500 and just playing 500 baseball, if you prove to me this offense is better than just a 500 baseball team, I don't look around the American League and think that a lot of teams scare me. I'm staring and going, well, sure. As a Guardians fan who's been put out by the Yankees a few times in my lifetime, don't know that I really want to see the Yankees early on in the playoffs. But just about everybody else, there's no fear there. I don't look at these teams and go, well, those lineups are just so dangerous, I don't know what we would do. You got to prove that first. But the division should be the first thing in your mind right now. Should be the number one thing that I think Guardians fans are striving for. 216-474-0092. Just how in reach does the AL Central feel right now? We'll take some of your calls coming back here in 5 minutes as well. Expectations for Shador come Saturday on Overtime with Jake Volnick right here on The Fan. It is time to talk more about your Cleveland Browns and the Cleveland Browns quarterbacks. Because, well, listen, you get to see what Shador did on Friday. You get to keep talking about Shador Sanders, okay? It's the beauty of it. If you're sick of Shador talk, well, I don't know. Welcome to the 2025 Brown season. I don't really know what to tell you. Like, I've heard, you know, like Nick on Afternoon Drive basically be like, oh, yeah, no, it's not my favorite thing in the world, but I understand what it is. It's like, yeah, are there times where I prefer to talk something else other than Shador? Sure, but yeah, I know where this season's at right now. I know where we're talking, and after Friday, you can't talk anything else. And it's the rightful thing to continue to talk about. So we're going to keep talking about it. But I think Friday certainly does change the expectations for Saturday and where we stand. Right? Like, if you were coming in, and I think coming into Shador's first preseason start, it was, okay, show me you're a competent quarterback. Show me that you can work on the small things. I know what the arm talent is there, but show me basically just, I get rid of the ball quickly. I get through my progressions quickly, and I'm making the right reads. Adjust your protections. Don't hold on to the ball too long. And then I think I'm going to be, you know, satisfied with where you're at in your progression. Not necessarily thinking the way we are right now that Shador is much better than we've been led on to believe at the moment. But I would have been like, okay, that was a good game for what Shador needed to work on. Don't know that he would have been ready, but it was a good game. He obviously blew those expectations out of the water. So I don't think that I can go into Saturday and say, well, I just want to make sure that he's continuing to progress with the pre-snap stuff. Just make sure you're getting rid of the ball quickly. And that's all I'm focused on. I mean, your expectation does go up a little bit. Playing a better defense, but what I'm expecting you to go up against is sort of the back end of that defense, right? Second team maybe for a little bit, but probably a lot more of your third teamers and guys who are maybe pressed not to make the roster, or fighting for their chance to make the roster the same way, the same kind of guys you'll probably be playing with in that game as well. The same guys that you did play with in the first game that you played against with Carolina. But my expectations now turn into, I think, from just do the little things right, almost to just repeat what you just did. Right? Go through and show me that game one wasn't a fluke. It show me that that's not the only thing that I'm going to be able to look at and go, well, that was a great game out of Shador, but then have all the problems arise again. I think the beautiful thing with Shador from game one was the way he was able to approach it. That was the fun part of it, is he could walk into that game knowing, all right, well, I'm going to play about 50 snaps. I'm going to have the majority of this game to show what I have. So he could, as you know, Dion laid out when he was talked to by the Colorado media about the game, he's approaching this like it is a regular season game. Like, this is a normal game for Shador because he does get the start. And he does have a long period of time where he just goes, all right, well, instead of playing four quarters of football today, I'm playing a three-quarter football game in my mind, and I need to win the game in that time period. Okay, well, you're not going to have that same luxury. I don't think you can approach this game if you're Shador Sanders like, well, it's just a normal game, right? It's just, I'm preparing for this like it's the regular season. In a way, it's not going to be that. Like, you're going to have to sit there and watch your teammates. Probably there's a good chance that you'll sit there and watch them for a half of football and you'll watch Dylan Gabriel take reps, and you're going to have to do something that across your collegiate career you never had to do, which was step into the middle of the game and just play. Right? And just act like, all over again, here's the start of it. Again, I told you, pressure is not something I'm worried about with Shador. I think this, for a lot of quarterbacks, probably creates a little bit of pressure, but it's not going to be the thing that I think stops him and completely changes up the way that he's able to play. But I am interested to see how he works through that, because you're not going to have the same amount of time allotted to you either. You're not going to have, well, you know, Shador got out of the gates a little bit slow to start against Carolina, but then obviously quickly picked it up, worked through his progressions faster, started getting the ball out a little bit quicker, started just looking like a better quarterback. You don't have that ramp-up period to then go on and play two full quarters after and go, no, here's what I actually am. I need you to take those first game jitters and those be your first game jitters, and to step into this game and go, right off the rip, I'm starting where...
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I left off. And again, is it a fair expectation to look at him and say that? I don't know. He might go through some of the same things that he went through to start off the Carolina game. But if we're talking about a guy that's trying to climb through the depth chart, it's the kind of thing that slows you down in that process. So I'm going to need you to step up and climb above that. But I think the easiest thing to look at is exactly what a lot of the pundits have been talking about today, including Brian Baldinger on NFL Network following the game, talked about what he needs to see from Shador going up against the Eagles.
Continue to do what he just did. Like, he led this team to scoring drives. The team is going to respond to you, and they responded against Carolina. Can they do that against the Eagles in Philadelphia this weekend? And so whatever amount of reps, opportunities he gets, like, keep driving the team. Keep the team moving, especially finishing it in the end zone.
So, and I think that's a really fun thing that Baldy laid out, too. It's like, in a lot of quarterback battles, like Anthony Richardson versus Daniel Jones right now, sitting in Indy, well, assuming that Anthony Richardson's actually healthy enough to continue to play right now and can identify when there's, you know, an edge rush coming off the left side, might help him out a little bit. But I think there's a little bit more to that than just, well, make the offense move. Like, they're evaluating two quarterbacks that, yes, they're not in a great spot, but that team, at least if you go back and look at last year, should be set up in a position to continue to try to win football games. I'll be honest, I look at that roster and I'm like, I don't know what I see in this team. But then they go out and they win like 9 games every single year that they have a quarterback on the roster over the last like 3 or 4 years. Jonathan Taylor's here. Oh, we're going to win 9 games. Don't know how you're competing for a playoff spot come week 18 almost every single year. But they continue to manage to do it with Joe Flacco and Anthony Richardson. It was the exact same thing last year. So, yes, you are looking at, okay, finish in the end zone, just make the team progress down the field. It is the basics of evaluating a quarterback, but I think they're also looking at a lot more than just that. It's, all right, what quarterback's going to give us a legitimate chance to win? How can each guy use his legs? How accurate is each guy? Right? Is he making the exact right read? And which guy's going to put us in a position to get to 8 or 9 wins? The beautiful thing about a Browns quarterback battle right now is it literally is, all right, well, make the team move. Because that is the biggest concern this year, is how is the offense going to move? We're coming off a year where we just scored 15 points a game. A terrible season. I just need this offense to actually be able to progress downfield. Yes, ultimately, I'd love if you ended in the end zone and it was a touchdown on a majority of your drives. as would every coach and every fan and every media member that covers the team. It's a lot more fun. But the main thing is going to be, okay, how can you keep this team out on the field? How can you could just continue to press and make the team move? And that alone is going to have you getting a leg up. Whether that's against the second, third team defense, it's going to be like, all right, you're faced with third down scenarios. Can you get me to execute a play that is just 6 yards down the field on third and five? And then keep that drive going and give yourself a new set of downs. You're not out here competing in a battle against, truthfully, right now, I understand you want the starting job if you're Shador, but the main thing is get up over Dylan Gabriel. That's step number one for you. Climb above the other rookie in front of you. And how you're going to do that is just, like I said, make the offense move and in a way, repeat what you did. It was great watching Shador have elite arm talent on his first touchdown throw like we talked about. Elite ball placement. You go through there and just hit some easy passes and just keep the offense out there, even if you're ending in field goal drives. I still think that's a leg up for you. As long as you're not reverting back to your ways of Colorado, it's going to make you look better than the other guy in the room more often than not when you're competing against another rookie. So the bar is a little bit lower for you. In terms of make the climb over Dylan Gabriel, the bar is lower in a competition right now. But if you're Shador, the personal goal is look better than you did on Friday. And everybody's evaluating, in a way, based on how you did on Friday. Because I think the media is waiting for the opportunity to pounce on, well, look how great Shador is again. And if you're Shador, the media is your friend right now. Right? All of the pressure that can be put on Kevin Stefanski to be like, no, you have to look at this kid, despite Kevin not usually reacting to outside pressure. Still, pressure mounting and the media being on your side left and right and you putting together good performances and that creating pressure of people being like, well, is this the Browns being the Browns again? I don't even know that you're creating pressure on Kevin Stefanski more than you're creating pressure on Jimmy Haslam. Like, you create pressure on Jimmy to go, I don't want this to be the same version of the Browns. I don't want this to be the classic Browns is the Browns quote, right? You want this to be they're making the right decision. If the right decision looks like Shador, it's all you got to do. But the expectation now is, for me, in the same that Baldy said, I know Adam Schefter said it as well, go through and look how you did on Friday. Continue to make those same sort of plays, continue to move the offense in the same way. If you repeat it, nobody's going to be able to knock you down and say that you didn't perform well. Again, 216-474-0092. What becomes the expectation for Shador on Saturday? Let's go out to the phones. Fred is in Maple Heights. What's going on, Fred?
What's up? Hey, I think for Shador, like, from what I've seen, and I didn't watch him in college at all. I ain't going to hold you on that. But I seen a quarterback that felt pocket presence. He was able to move and get up out of there, where other quarterbacks would have just took that sack or tried to play hero ball and throw it cross body and throw a pick, you know, or a pick six. I seen a guy who was poised. I seen dots. I played with him on Madden. I'm playing with him. I see dots. I see accuracy. Something we haven't had at the QB position for so long has been accuracy. We went through it with Baker Mayfield. Remember, it was a big thing where he wouldn't get the ball to him or he couldn't do it, whether it was his arm or he had a personal vendetta going on. We just always struggle with accuracy. So now we're talking about a guy coming in who can not only deliver the ball with arm strength, he can dot that boy. So now it's going to be on receivers that's going to be able to have them hands. My biggest thing is it's going to fall down to management. How can they manage this kid? I don't care if he start, but they should, when he get his chance to get in there, and he's going to feel some grass, he's going to touch grass at some point, and he's going to get hurt or look like he's hurt. If he faces that, how is the Browns going to respond to this in the right way? Because we have been known for just running quarter, either running them too soon or too late into the ground, man. And I don't want to see nobody, whether it's Dylan or Shador, I want to see people succeed. We know it's not going to be Flacco, but how the Browns front office handle and management, the management from the PR to any little thing all the way down to how this guy can be on the field if he has to potentially come off, that's what's going to be important to me, because we don't manage our QBs well. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, and Fred, I appreciate you making the call. I don't know that we should be making our bases off of Madden. Sorry, okay. I don't know that we should be looking at Madden accuracy. As if he's dotting up on Madden, that's good. But I don't know that we should be paying attention to that. But I will say, I thought Shador did really well from the pocket presence standpoint. Like, his second touchdown throw, trusting, I can't remember what running back was in on the play, but to step up and actually pick up the block, just a slight slide to the right and stay with your eyes downfield, not overreact to pressure was great. I will say, like, the hold on to the ball too long thing, I think he absolutely did that at times. Like, I'm sitting back on 4th and 2, and where people are like, well, he got rid of it and didn't get sacked at the 50-yard line to turn it over. That's great. He also did put himself at the 50-yard line and try to play hero ball in that play. And it's 4th down. You get a little bit of an opportunity to do that. Not backtracking 25 yards, maybe, but you get a little opportunity to do it. There were a couple of times where it shined through. Again, I don't think he was perfect. I think he handled himself well. I think for Shador, like, I don't know that I trust the Browns to manage the situation right, but I don't know that I look at it right now and say they're managing it incorrectly either. Like, I think that you look at the game on Friday, as much as Shador looked great in that game, I think you also looked at Kevin Stefanski and say he set him up in a good position, right? Like, you didn't see him go out of center a ton, especially to start the game. They started him in shotgun. They did not want to put him under center. And then they ran play action a few times, give him some opportunity, work more into what the offense looks like. And he handled that well. When I see mismanagement, I'll call mismanagement. Up to this point, I don't think so. Again, 216-474-0092. What becomes the expectation for Shador on Saturday? Dre, I see on the line. We'll get to you coming up here in 5 minutes, as well as Get a Grip right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.